Lord, we just give this time to you, and we ask you to open up life in your word and just quicken your word into us. We ask you to go deep down into the roots and way down into the seeds that the roots could grow from. We ask you, Lord, today as we speak about rooting out pride, that, Lord, you would just right now arrest and bind that spirit of pride as we make agreements, Lord, cast out the spirit of pride. But we ask you to go beyond a shallow casting out and to go way down into the root system and find the very, very seed that planted it in us. And Lord, we want to be set free, completely free, have our eyes open and be delivered. Lord, our healing needs to come as we get rid of things that are blocking it. So today, we ask you to just deal with this issue in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I thought about getting out the whiteboard, but I didn't. So we're going to imagine a whiteboard, and we're going to picture it in our mind. And looking down, you know, at the very, very, everything starts as a seed, which I thought was really cool on the tithing, because God said, you know, even bring in the tithe of the seed. Why didn't he just say, go plant your seed, grow a big harvest, and then tithe off that? But he said, tithe even off the seed. So if we tithe off the seed, he blesses the seed, and we get a bigger harvest. And then we tithe off the harvest, and it sells for more money. And then you tithe off that. So in following the roots of pride, because there's all kinds of leaves and fruits and branches of pride in our life, and root systems, they're just massive, and they all lead down to a seed. So that's what we're looking for, because pride blocks our healing. You know, when we talk about inner healing, we're talking about wanting to get over pain and woundedness and things that are hurting in us and preventing us from being functional and healthy. But a lot of those things are connected to spirits, attitudes. You know, if you don't believe in the spirit realm, we'll call them attitudes, but they're really spirits. And we want to find out what they're based in. God can only heal what's true. And if we have deceptions, God can't heal a lie or anything based on a lie. For instance, I might have been an unwanted pregnancy. God can heal the insecurity that comes from the truth that I was unwanted. But if I start piling lies on that truth, like the reasons I was unwanted, and those are not true, I was unwanted because I wasn't smart enough, or I was unwanted because I wasn't good enough, and I want God to heal me of that, he cannot heal until we get truth. So pride is something that is full of deception. Pride is full of deception and lies, belief systems that it's built in us. And all of that needs to be undone in order for us to really get free. So let's start with Malachi 4. You know, I used to get to do things in advance. Lately, I get to plan things like right before I get here. But it's pretty cool that I know it's God, because I had no idea this morning where we were going. Malachi 4, verse 1. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. So I want to look at that. God said, but this burning is coming, and it wants to burn away all pride. But unto you who fear, unto those who reverence his name. What is it to reverence a name, to respect and to honor and recognize somebody by their name? The name is your identity. It's who you are. It's everything about who you are. That is your character. It is how you behave. It is how you function. Well, Jesus is all truth. He's love. He's mercy. But he is righteousness. He is holy and pure and morally good. He is not proud. He's meek. So the Lord said, if you reverence all that I am, I can burn away your pride. If you reverence and have respect unto humility, unto truth, unto kindness and gentleness and goodness, unto giving and living for others, if you reverence the name of Christ and all that he is, he'll be able to burn away pride. And he didn't say, if you notice, this is really funny, because we think the Son of Righteousness is always the S-O-N. This was spelled S-U-N. I almost didn't even catch that. God had to bring my eyes back. He was calling himself like a bright, shining light. So in order for us to come into truth and get rid of pride, we need a bright, shining searchlight, a glowing light, a morning light. We need to wake up to the daytime and not live in darkness. We need truth. We need purity. So the Lord said that this light would arise with healing in his wings, and you would tread down the wicked. We will tread down the wickedness. We'll be delivered from this pride. And it would be like ashes under our feet. It would be completely burnt up and gone. There would be no more root. A root deep down inside of us. We keep doing what we do because of what is down inside of us. Because of what we believe. Because of what we feel. So how did this root system even get started? Where did it come from? I believe the seed of that system is just self. Either self-preservation, self-exaltation, self-defense, just survival. It's all about self. So we looked at some of those roots, realizing that pride comes from a self-focus. Then we would see daily how we look at things. How do people look at me? How do I look at life? Who taught me how to look at life? How did that develop? My whole defense system, that's where my anger, my revenge, I mean, spirits travel in packs. As soon as our pride says, you're not going to treat me that way, in comes a stubbornness, a revenge, an anger, a violence inside of us. What are people going to think of me is completely, how do I look to you, you know? All of these things, but they started way down inside of us as we're developing our self-image. And we started from a worldly point of view. The whole world is filled with pride. So we started with I want to look good. I want to feel good. I want life to be about me. Sesame Street used to teach the song, the most important person in the world is you. I didn't never let my kid watch that show again after I heard that song. I didn't want them to be taught they are the most important person in their world. That is complete pride and selfishness. Right. So the roots are so deep. I mean, we start out as parents telling our kids, you know, oh, you're so beautiful. Oh, you're so wonderful at this. And they go around thinking that that is their value, what they do, how they look. So those roots run very, very deep. And they are very grounded in our system of security. What makes us feel secure? What other people think of us makes us secure? How successful we are in our endeavors makes us feel secure and important. We want to do something big and great in life so that we make our mark. That's all pride. And it all has to burn away. It's not easy to burn it away. That does not happen easily. But God said this fire is coming, and it's going to burn up everything. If you want to burn away this great tree of pride, it starts with the leaves. And it goes down the branches. And then it eats up the bark. And then it goes down into the roots. And it has to get down to the very seed. Paul said, I die daily. For to me to die is to gain, you know. So we don't want to die. And we have to come to the point of saying, I choose to die to self. Because when we do, being created in it. Would you bring that chart back around just so it's set up? I forgot to get it. I left it right there, though. Being created in the image of God means we're only free, we're only happy when we are fully living who we were created to be. But pride is not who we were created to be. Life being all focused on me, what I want, what I desire, and how I look, is not what really I was created to be like. Because God is completely giving, completely loving, completely meek and gentle and lowly. He's not a braggart. He's not a braggart. Now, there's a difference in stating truth and being a braggart. When God says, I created the heavens and the earth, it's just a fact. It's what he did. When you say, I have a beautiful voice, that could just be a fact. God great gave me a beautiful voice. I chose that because it's obviously not one of my talents. But for a singer to say, God hath given me the gift of a beautiful voice, and I'm so glad that he did, and I want to give it to him and let it bring him glory and let his spirit move through my voice, that's just truth. But when a singer stands up and says, I don't know why she got that solo when I do it better, now that beautiful voice has led to the spirit of pride. Because I want them to see me and hear me because I deserve to be seen and heard. Don't you all think I'm wonderful? I mean, there's a truth in just loving the gifting God gave you, living in it freely, but it's not pride. So, I mean, we switch from pride and boasting to a false humility of trying to look humble. It's real. We can't even find the middle. We can't even find it. Only God can find it. We can't even find all of our roots. Only God can find them. We certainly can't burn them up. Only God can burn them up. But when we finally get free, we will be like God because we were created in his image. And we will be loving. And these are the proofs. If you love not the brethren, you're in deception. You are not fully free in who you are yet. If you're judging the brethren, condemning the brethren, you are still functioning from a spirit of pride. And all of us do until this burning comes. And it takes a lot of burning. It takes a lot of burning. Fire has to burn away the pride and find the roots. Malachi 3:1 said, we seek him. He is coming to his temple. Look back a chapter in Malachi. Back to chapter 1. Oh, I'm sorry. Chapter 3, verse 1. He says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Do you want the Lord to really come deep inside of you? We keep saying, I want to know you deeper. I want a deeper relationship. I have wounds and things you're not healing inside of me, and I want them to be healed, God. There's things in the way. And if we want him to come, we have to realize there's a prepared way in us. And whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. We are the temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who will be able to bear it when he comes? Who will understand what he's doing? We don't get it. We don't even know. Who'll be able to contain what he's doing and stand in it and say, keep doing it, keep doing it. It hurt, God, fire hurts. But keep doing it, God, because I really want you to burn everything away. He said, when I come, who will be able to abide my coming? Who shall stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify. Okay, now we're coming to who? The sons of Levi. If you've studied scripture, you know that when we refer to Levites, we're referring to people that were chosen, separated out of the rest of the people, and put into ministry. They were people who had chosen to lay down their entire life, not live as others do, but be living separated, dedicated, holy unto God as his ministers. If you are desiring to be a minister of God, that's the requirement. You don't live as others do. You lay down your life and say, God, prepare me to be a minister. And to you, He will send the refiner's fire. He will sit like a refiner of silver and gold. He will sit like one who takes your life and keeps dipping it in the fire to burn away all the dross until you're clear and God can be seen through you. But it hurts, those dippings in the fire. It hurts that oven of God. But who will abide it? Who will stand? Because many are called, few are chosen. Will you let him burn away sin? Will you let him burn away pride? Do you have pride? Absolutely. If you're a walking human being, you got some pride. We all have it. I think we're born with it. It was in our blood, got right in us in the womb, and we were born with selfishness and pride and liars. It's all of us guilty. But will we endure the fire that burns it away so we can become clear, so the Lord can shine through us? He will be our refiner. He will purify us if we let him. And then we may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. God is not interested in religion. He's not interested in what we can do. He is our righteousness. He has to shine through. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former days. Who will endure it? Who will stay with the goldsmith while he purifies us? Only those who truly are in love with him, surrendered to the ministry, to be purged so God can live. Let him extract what is wrong. It's the leading path into our healing, is this extraction. Because in our pride, we won't forgive. In our pride, we are wounded by others who have done things to us, those things that we would never do, those things that are just wrong, 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 and they deserve to be punished. Our pride can't look at them and say, I've done worse than they. And sometimes we really have to look at what our thoughts are to realize how sinful we are, because some of us are pretty good at behavior control. And we don't do all those things. But do we think them? What if you were suddenly guilty of everything you think? Because we are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we have to realize when somebody else does something that we say, I would never do that. No, but you would do this. And we can't judge them. Those who have wounded us, if we don't choose to forgive them, God cannot forgive us. It's not your salvation, it's your relationship in this world that's affected. All of our sins on Christ, when we accept him, they're gone. Our forgiveness from God is completed. But our sins toward each other keep us sick. They keep us wounded. They keep us in bondage, and they keep us on the road to death. And if we do not forgive our offenders, God cannot forgive us. And we continue in bitterness and anger and woundedness and death and sickness and there's so many areas we don't even understand. Thus, this massive root system keeps growing. And we try to cut it off with confession. God, I don't want to be proud. God, I don't want to feel this. God, I don't want to do that. But until refiner's fire burns away the roots, we keep doing it. Same things over and over. And he keeps forgiving us as we repent. But I want the fire. I want the fire. I want what he said when he said, I'm going to burn it all away. I want him to burn it all away. So I want to endure when the fire comes. I don't want to get out of the furnace because it's a little too hot. Because it didn't make me feel good. It's like when God said the fuller's soap, I like that part too, because it's like, you know, you wash, like if you're washing fruit up and you put it in a strainer. Well, when God washes us up and puts us in the strainer, only the purest water can come through his tiny little holes. You know, so I like God's strainer too. God says, I will come near to you in judgment. In verse 5, he said, I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against false swearers. That doesn't mean you're using curse words, though that's not a good plan. Swearers are those who say, I won't, or I will. And they keep making pledges and promises that are lies. They don't live them. And against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and that do not fear me, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, I'm coming near to you, Levites, to judgment. I'm coming near to you, children of God, to judgment. And then what does he say he finds in us? He's talking to us, and in us, he finds sorcery, witchcraft, maybe horoscopes, magic, and enticed by those things, against adulterers, unfaithful to God, like the wife who's always got her eyes out there looking at something else, someone else, against us continually making vows that we don't keep, oppressing people. All these things he found in his own people when he came close, because judgment begins at the house of God. You know, a lot of people come to inner healing and they go, I just want to feel good. Same reason they come to church sometimes. Okay, I need God. We don't have enough money to pay our bills. I need God because my husband isn't nice to me and I just want a happy home and a good marriage. I need God because my children are sick and they need to get well. I need God because I have cancer and I don't want to die. I need God because. And there's a lot of people that come to God to get what they need. But this deeper inner healing, this deeper burning away is for the Levites. This inner healing is for those who want to lay their life down, because God wants to make us healthy, whole, as though we've been raised by perfect parents, clear of all that pain, clear of all the bad attitudes it's brought, clear of all the sin that's in there, so that we can be Levites, so that we can be open vessels he can flow through. Otherwise, we might as well just go to heaven and get our healing. He needs us here to be open for the flow of his Spirit. So if our reasoning is that we just want God to be able to live in us, we're a whole lot closer to getting that healing. Even our motive can't be purely selfish. It has to be for God's purposes. You know, we volunteer and say, God, I want to be a minister. And he says, well, sweep the floors. I don't want to sweep floors. I want to preach. I want you to sweep floors. Right now, Rick is our janitor. Rick is not only a janitor. He just became a janitor because we need one. And that was the only excuse we had to keep giving him any money, so we made him the janitor. We needed cleaning. He needed some money. So it's not like the call of his life is to be a janitor. But, what's his name? A preacher? Bill Johnson. He said, now you come to my church and you want me to give you a prophetic word, but I'm telling you the most prophetically gifted man in my church is my janitor. So if you want to really be prophesied over with power, go find the janitor. Isn't that amazing? That God would give the greatest prophet in a church the position of janitor? That's amazing. Last night as we were praying, and Rick, I love to hear Rick pray. Rick is one of the greatest worshipers I know. He starts praying, he just starts weeping and loving on the Lord, and it's awesome, and it brings God's presence. Our greatest worshiper at Burning Bush is our janitor right now. And God had said to me a couple weeks ago, mark some people. Mark them. I forgot the verse, but he said, mark them as examples. And I went through everything I wish that I was better at. I wish I were a better worshiper. He said, mark Rick. Watch Rick. Learn from Rick, the janitor. You want to be a better evangelist? Mark, Mark, Mark. I see three of them sitting here this morning. All they talk about is how to go win people to Jesus. You don't hear these guys coming in here talking about themselves. I need, I want, I need. You don't very often hear them bringing maybe a prophecy. What you hear them saying is, how do we get the people? How do we get to the people? How do we get the people in here? They need to be here. They need Jesus, and he's here. Evangelists, mark them, watch them. How do they find and win the people? Mark him. He talks to everybody he meets about Jesus. I need to learn to love more. Who do I see doing that I can mark and watch? I need to learn to listen more. Who's a good listener? I need to be a better mother. Who's a good mother? Father, who's a good father? He said, mark them, mark them. Are we marked for anything? Or do we only talk about me, me, me? A good test is, do you hear yourself saying, if only you would do what I'm telling you? Pride. Well, let me tell you how I do this. Let me how I raise my kids. Let me tell you how I do everything. Are we supposed to be telling people all about how we do everything or how Jesus does everything? We just have so much pride in his way. Pride, I just see it. I saw it on a preacher one time, and he was a very famous, big, I went to this place, and they said, wait till you hear Dr. So-and-so. Wait till you hear him. He's amazing. Well, God had my eyes open that day in the spirit realm. And every time I looked at him, all I could see was this big, ugly, monstrous figure of pride. That's all I could see. I couldn't see Jesus. I couldn't hear Jesus. Pride, 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 pride stood between this man and what God had given him to bring. And I could not get it because pride was blocking God. I see pride as a big, ugly monster that blocks God from flowing through us. It's one of his main enemies because it so easily gets us. And we are God's conduit. We are God's body. We are his eyes and hands and voice. And the only way he reaches out in this world is through people. And pride has such easy access to us. And through pride, we wound each other, destroy each other, compete with each other, accuse each other. Pride is our enemy, and it lives in us and through us, and we use it on each other to beat each other up. It's an ugly enemy, and God is after it. God is after it through the fire of judgment. See, when the fire of judgment comes in you, you don't need to be afraid. He's not after you. You are created in the image of God. He's after all these spirits that are residing in you or influencing you. He's after them. When he says, I'm going to come and take sorcery, it's my enemy, but it is living through you, then he has to come to you to expose it and have you break agreement with it and kick it out.
Right.
So don't be afraid of what he shows you that's in you and affecting you. Be happy that he's exposing it.
Right.
We go, oh no, I'm so ashamed because I see how proud I acted. Shame is just more pride.
Right.
Be happy that you saw it.
Yeah.
Wow, listen to what I just said. That was nothing but pride. Pride got me again. Get out of my life. You're not going to live in me.
Right.
Pride saying, don't stand up. You'll look stupid. No, you are stupid, pride. You get out. I'm going to stand up and look free. Don't say that. You might be wrong. Okay, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm going to get embarrassed. That's just more of pride's problem, not mine. Let God expose the spirits that are holding us in bondage because there's no freedom until we abide in the fire and let it get burnt away. Why is it so important to us? Because we're insecure. We're insecure about our acceptance from other people. We're insecure about our safety, our very foundations. We don't have a home. We don't have money. If we don't have friends, if we don't have, then I won't be secure. The only security there is God. My husband could get hit by a car tomorrow. I'm 63, very bad knees, and extremely shy around strangers. I don't like to be around people I don't know because I get scared. I'm not bold like him. He dropped me off at Gathering of the Bride the other night downtown. He didn't want me to have to walk for blocks when he parked. So he's like, I'm going to drop you off right there and I'll go park. And I'm like, but I'll be alone until you come back. You know, I will stand right where you drop me. I'm not going in among the people till you return. I'm still insecure. Insecurity is a sin. Because we have a God who's with us every step we take, everywhere we go. Being insecure is ridiculous. It's of Satan. It's not a good thing. Therefore, it's evil. It's a bad spirit. God's been setting me free from insecurity. I'm not totally free. I need more fire to burn the rest away. And God is so kind and gracious. Even when we're in the fire, instead of rebuking me for acting on insecurity, he just had Judy already there who saw me and came right over running to me to walk in with me. God is so good, so kind. And when we face those things that he's wanting to show us and unveil in us, he's so good. He's there to set us free. He's there to grant us repentance of sins that have us tangled in webs. He's there to heal the pain that the offenders caused us, but he can't until we forgive them. And then he's there to tell us how we responded was wrong and set us free from that, so we can be really free and learn to love. God is pure love. We cannot love from violence and anger and defensiveness and hiding and accusing. We cannot get free while we're living in that place. It's impossible. Malachi 4 said, "But unto you," verse 2, "that reverence, that fear, that uphold my name and all that I represent, to you shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you're going to go forth like, and grow up like calves in a stall." Calves in a stall are protected babies. They're in a safe place where they're kept warm and they're fed and they're nourished. They're like babies. He said, "You're going to be like babies that are growing up, because I'm going to father you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to love you and protect you and provide for you in the safe place, in the stall with God, as your father, as your mother, as your friend, and as your God. Your daddy is God, and he's a great healer. But we have to receive rebuke from our father, confrontation, along with the comfort. It all comes together. All comes together. Who will seek him? Who will abide? The refiner of fire. Pride is arrogance, pomp, swelling about your own self, who you are. God wants to break it and crush it and destroy it. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 8:13, is to hate pride and arrogancy in the evil way. In the froward mouth do I hate. 11:2, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Just like everything else of Satan, it's an opposite. The spirit of pride says, "I'll make you shine. I'll hold you up. I'll hide you from shame." But it's exactly opposite. When a man is boasting, who likes the guy who's telling you that he knows everything? Who likes the guy who's always got to be the one telling you everything, showing you everything he's done? Every story you tell him, he did it too and did it probably better. You like that guy? Pride does not make you shine. It makes people shy away from you because they don't want to hear any more of it. But God, amazingly, humility lifts you up. Isn't that amazing? There are deep, deep roots of pride, and they are well watered. Well watered. These roots are just saturated and feeding themselves. They're watered. Things get planted have to be watered. Our life, actions, and choices water the roots and keep them alive. They need to be pulled out, but they need to be really taken down to the very, very base to get rid of them. And Psalm 124:4 says, "Then the waters had overwhelmed us, and the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. But blessed be the Lord, who has not given us up as a prey, as a victim to their teeth. Our soul escaped as a bird out of a snare of the fowlers. And the snare is broken, and we are escaped, because our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." Our help is in the name, in the character, in the very identity. It's not just saying, "In the name of Jesus." You know, there were guys that followed the apostles, and they tried to tell the demons, get out of that person in the name of Jesus. They knew how to say that sentence. And the demon jumped on them, saying, Paul, I know. Silas, I know. But who are you? They didn't carry the name of Jesus. They didn't own the name of Jesus. They didn't live and walk the name of Jesus, which means his character, who he is. When you walk in truth, when you walk in humility, when you walk in compassion, when you walk in mercy, because Christ walks in you, then you have the name of Jesus. And that is what our hope and our help is found in. The meek and gentle and unselfish Savior. The proud in heart is an abomination. It is disgusting to the Lord. It is better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide spoil with the proud. Proverbs 21:4, a high look and a proud heart is sin. Scorners, critics, judging, they stir up strife. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. God has set us here today by his authority to root out. To root out. To get those roots out. To pull them down and to destroy them, which crush them and throw them down, and then to build and repair and to plant. If you want to be built, if you want to be repaired, and you want to be planted in God, first you have to be rooted out of what's in you. And that's what God wants to do today. So I'm asking you during this quiet soaking time, if you haven't been here before, we take a time, we just put on some music. You can stay in your chair, you can come to the altar, you can sit over there, go back to the couches. Find yourself a quiet place, go to the table if you like to journal, and just be quiet. Say, here I am, God. I open up everything I am, and I ask you to show me, confront me, take me face to face with what you want to burn out of my life. And I say, yes, burn it all away. And you can't even tell God the healing that you need. His healing is a side effect. Healing is a side effect. Nobody can hand it to you. You can't even come in and say, but God, my heart is broken, heal it. You can say it, but first he's got to go through his process, the unlayering. It's okay to pour out your hurts to him. You can do that. But he is unlayering your life to get down deeper, to the deeper issues of where the hurts come from. So just tell him, you come after whatever you want, God. Come after anything you want. I will not be afraid. I will stand in the fire and trust you. And when you burn something away, there'll be healing that will follow. When you just seek his face, healing is a side effect. It just comes. We never even know what he's going to heal. He kind of gets to choose that too. So we just give it to you right now, Lord. We're just going to lay our lives before you. And we invite you. We invite you. God, when the fire gets hot and we begin to cry, I didn't know that would be this. I didn't know that it was going to hurt like this. I changed my mind. Back off, God. When we begin to say that, I'm saying, don't back off, God. Because I trust you, and I know beyond the hardest point is the greatest healing and the greatest victory and the freedom and the love that will flow. So I say, please don't back off. Just turn up the heat and get me through it, because I trust you. I trust in your name and all that you are. So I put my healing in your hands and invite it. Thank you, Jesus.